as we make our way to our seats, and please remain standing. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me over to the book of Ruth. As I've been telling you, I'm going to start a new series this month. This is the month of May. It's flying up. I can't believe how fast time's going. Next month, we are halfway through 2025. That just is a shock to me. I don't know. Anybody else feel that way? Crazy. Foster Care Awareness Month. We have Mother's Day, so it's family. And I've just been praying, Lord, what to say. And I love the Bible because the Bible's transparent. It doesn't hide anything. And even families, we're going to look at one today that experienced all kinds of problems in the book of Ruth, Old Testament. And we're going to go one chapter per week. And this story is about a family that also has death and loss, tragedy, famine, sickness, abandonment, but it also has loyalty, it has triumph, it has God's sovereignty. How many know God has a plan even when we don't understand it? This book is the crown jewel of the Old Testament. It happens during the time of the judges, where people just live their life the way they wanted to live it, much like today, because there was no king. And in it, we're introduced to a very dramatic figure that is not found anywhere else in the Old Testament. He is the kinsman redeemer. His name is Boaz. So let me tell you something, men, that even though it's named Ruth, this is not a series about women, and this is not for women. This is for us men too. Come on. Boaz means strength. And he's going to show us what a man of God really is. And we're going to take some lessons from Mr. Boaz. I think the ladies know who Boaz is. Boaz is single. Boaz is rich. Boaz is looking for a woman of faith. He's a kinsman redeemer. Some of us are looking for Boaz. Some of us found his cousin, Bozo. Just look right this way. Amen. Let's look right this way, right this way. Can't wait to get to Boaz. Boaz now. But we got to start from the tragedy and where we're looking at in chapter 1. So let's read. I'm going to read these 13 verses, and then I'm going to preach for about 20 minutes, and I'm going to get out your way. God's going to change some lives. He's going to redirect some things today, and he's going to help us make some right decisions today. Right decisions today. Chapter 1, Ruth 1:1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. If you're writing, if you have a book, Bible, you underline that right there. If you can do it on your, if you got an iPad or whatever, that's fine too. But I like to write in my Bible. I'm going to give you some of these. Highlight them if you got to. Underline, in the days when judges ruled. That's important. There was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah. Underline Bethlehem and Judah. He went to dwell in the country of Moab, for he and his wife and their two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Epaphrodites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab, and they remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, I love these names, he died. And she was left with her two sons. I want you to listen to this. Now the two sons took wives of the women of Moab. It's not good, but he did. And the name of the one was Orpah. Not Oprah, Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. You need to circle Ruth. And they dwelt there for about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. Naomi survived her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with their daughters-in-laws, and she, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard when she was in Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. The famine was over. She wants to go home. Therefore, she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughter-in-laws came with her. And they went on the way, and they returned to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return, each one of you, go back to your mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt kindly with my dead sons. The Lord grant you and find favor. So they kissed them, and they lifted up their voices together. All three of these widows, I want you to see this, weeping. And then verse 10, as they said, then the two girls turned to the mom and said, "Surely we're going to go with you." And Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Is there still sons in my womb? Do I have any husbands? Turn back, my daughters, for I'm too old to have a husband. If I should have hope," underline hope. If I should have hope, because she has none. She has none. "If I should have a husband tonight and would bear sons, would you wait for them until they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord," look how she looks at her life now, "the hand of the Lord has gone out against me," underline that, verse 20. "But she said to the people, 'Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" Thank you for this story, Lord, that you have given us and preserved over all this time for us to look at today, speak to our hearts. I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Everyone said amen. Amen. I want to talk about the power of decision. Tell a couple people as you're seating, make good decisions. Tell the person next to you. The power of decision. Every chapter in the book of Ruth has a main theme, and I thought about preaching it this way. I've never preached on the book of Ruth, and I said, "Lord, how do I do this?" And so God gave me an idea to pick one word for each chapter. And I said, okay, it sounded good at first, but 2 days before I was to preach, this was Friday, I said, "That's a dumb idea." Because the word God gave me was decision for this chapter, because it's all about decisions in this chapter. And man, I said, as I began to meditate on it and think about it, I said, "Man, that's good. I'm going to go ahead and go with it." So Friday morning, I sent it over. So they made the slides and all that. We go to our men's conference, and I'm sitting there simmering on this word and this awesome men's conference. And guys were all there. We had over 50 from our church register. So that's just amazing. And by the way, I want to give a shout out to Gary, our men's director. Thank you for coordinating that, for pushing it. And you guys made the decision to go. And it was, to me, it was one of the deepest men's conference I've ever been at. They went deep, and it was powerful and life-changing Friday night and all day Saturday. But I'm sitting there listening to what was happening, and the preacher's speaker's very first point was decisions. I said, "No way." And then he just began to preach my whole message. So I looked over and I said, "Gary, here's my notes for Sunday. So you know I'm not copying off this brother what he's preaching." And he went kind of a different way, but it was amazing. And this is, you know, when God speaks, he speaks to everybody on different levels about different things. Somebody know what I'm talking about? Even right now, this service with the word that Brother Leroy had, there's so many different people that got something out of that. It's just the way it is. And so I know the Lord is on the right track. But as I begin, so I got confidence with this decision thing. Decisions are the most powerful force that we have in our life. Is decisions. Decisions direct our path, our future. Decisions will define our very existence. How many know that we are not defined by what happens to us, but we are defined on how we decide to respond to what happens to us? Decisions. Some are perhaps one decision away from seeing God bring healing in our life. As we see Ruth in the story, made one decision and was able to find herself in the bloodline of the Messiah, even though she was a Moabite. And there are other times when we can make one decision that will cause everything to fall apart. We can be one decision away from everything just falling apart. Decisions. But I don't want to put too much pressure on you. I will tell you this. That if we would just make the one and the greatest decision we'll ever make in life is to follow Jesus. I say this all the time. The two most important decisions you will ever make in life is one is to follow Jesus. Second one is who you marry. Come on, people. And those are the two most important decisions. Where you go to school, where you're going to work, how far you're going to go in education. Those are important. Those are goals. But I'm telling you the two most important decisions you and I will ever make Well, number one, to follow Jesus, and two, who we're going to marry and go with us in that journey we call following Jesus. And we're going to get both of them in this story. But when we make that one decision to follow Jesus, I will tell you this, I'll let some pressure off of that, because that's a pretty big pressure, right? One decision away from total apocalypse. And sometimes it could be that simple, but I found this out. When we make that one decision to follow Jesus, he will make even some of our bad decisions, something good will come out of them. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Oh, yeah. You can get, if you got some hope today, you can say amen to that. So we get into this story as we find these decisions. And the first one, there's three decisions that define this whole chapter. And I always want to run through them. The first decision we find is much like a bad decision with Elimelech. Elimelech. All week, my wife got tired of me saying Elimelech. So this is how my brain works. The Muppet Show. Dun, 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 Elimelech. Okay, that's how I remember the show. How many remember the Muppets? Yeah, every Sunday night, that's what's the Muppet. That might help you. I'm sorry, that might make it worse, but Elimelech. Call him Eli if you don't. I'm sure they did. But Elimelech was the dad. He was the man. He was the father. He was from the tribe of Judah. He was an Israelite, God's chosen people in this time. And the Bible starts off with a famine, because how many know every family experiences famine? In one way or another, you and I are going to experience famine, whether we're God's people or we're not. Elimelech experienced famine. And every commentator that I have ever read studying this message says that he made a bad decision by going to Moab. So I begin to look into this, and sure enough, he's right. He shouldn't have went to Moab. Elimelech could have went to any other tribe within Israel, but he traveled across the Jordan and went to Moab. Moab was a pagan country. And remember, this is the time of the judges. So that's context. What does that mean? Right before Ruth is the book of Judges. And the book of Judges can be summed up by one thing. In those days, Israel had no governor, no king. So everyone did what was right in their own eyes. So we're living in a day where people didn't go to the priest, didn't seek God, the high priest, for God's wisdom. They didn't seek God for themselves. They just did whatever they felt like doing. Isn't it amazing that here we are 2025 and we have the same culture? And so Elimelech said, hey, we got a famine, which in the context, it was God bringing correction to the land because they're under the old covenant. And God said, whenever my people drift from me, I'm going to dry up the land to cause my people to pray, turn from their wicked ways and seek my face. And I will forgive their sins and I will hear them and I will heal their land. This is that time frame. So God sends a famine to correct them and to get them seeking him. But instead, Elimelech says, I'm getting my family and I'm going to Moab because I got a job opportunity there. And so he does make a bad decision, and they worship Moab, had this god called Shamash, and I just looked this up. I'm an image guy, and so I want to give you this image. This is an artifact of the idol Shamash. This is the Moab god, which they found over there in Moab, which is modern-day Jordan. And it's the god of war, and they have this huge statue of it. This is just a little necklace of a god of war that they would wear around their neck. But this was a notorious and violent god. He was the god of war. They would even actually sacrifice their children to this god. It's horrible. Moab, the Moabites, the lineage is from an incestuous relationship between Lot and one of his daughters. Back in Genesis, she gave birth to a son named Moab. This is the descendant. So God did not want Israel anywhere near Moab. And in fact, a Moabite could not come into the temple and worship until even the Gentile temple, until the 10th generation, because they were so wicked people. This is old school. This is old covenant now. This is before the blood of Jesus came and was able to break those generational family ties and curses. Amen, somebody. Amen. But this is the day I'm painting a picture of why Elimelech chose to go to these places. And besides that, he had his two sons. Now, names mean everything in the Bible. Yes. Elimelech means my God is king. But if he was really king, I think he would have sought Lord. Why? Because he had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And this is the names of those children. Mahlon means sickly. Chilion means weak and fading. They would name their children on what they saw the first 30 days they had time. Some would name them immediately what they felt in distress, one mother named her son Ichabod, which means the glory of the Lord has departed. Dad heard her say it and go, nope, we ain't naming my son that, and changed the name. How many are thankful for fathers changing your names? Amen. Take that however you want. But that's how people name their children. So Mahlon and Chilion were born with some kind of ailment. They were sickly. They were weak. They were feeble, both of them. And instead of sticking around the house of God, he takes his children to a foreign land where there are gods there that don't heal, but actually kill kids. It just makes no sense that he would travel that far from the things of God and go to a place like that. I began to pray about this, and the Lord gave me the Rhema word for this right here before we move on. It was a bad decision. Why? If you read it, it says, because he was from Bethlehem, Judah. He's from Bethlehem. Bethlehem means house of bread. Bethlehem means the house of bread. How many know Jesus is the bread of life? It means house of bread. And he was from the tribe of Judah, which means praise. And whenever we neglect the word of God in our praise, things begin to die. Whenever we begin to neglect the things of God, the word of God, and our worship, when we begin to neglect those things, things in our life will begin to dry up and begin to die. If you want to spiritualize this part of the message, and it's true. In times of famine, in times of distress, we got to be very careful that we don't give in to the temptation of making God our adversary instead of our advocate. And I can't help but to think this is why Elimelech said, hey, let's get our stuff and go. Daddy's got a job offer. Not knowing that they're traveling to a country where there is no temple. There is no worship. Their kids have no worship, no church. It's like taking a job in a city just because we got a promotion, dads. But we don't even think about what kind of environment spiritually are we taking our kids. Come on, dads, let's pay attention to this here and get some Rhema word out of this. What is the Lord speaking to our heart? And for 10 years, they had no feasts to participate in, no worship, no house of God. They had none of that going on in this place. All because he had a rough time. He had a difficult time, and he chose to run. We got to remember how Job handled this. We got to remember others in the Bible that also went through famines, also went through loss, but they said, I'm not going to forsake my God. Even Job, his own wife said, Job, what kind of God are you going to serve for you to go through the things that you went through? We lost all of our children. We lost all of our cattle. We lost all of our business. We lost all of our income. And still you sit here worshiping your God? Curse your God and die. Let's get on with it. And Job stands up to her and says, listen, even if God strikes me dead, yet will I serve him. Whoa, that's amazing to me that this man had that. Why? Because he knew something that Elimelech didn't, that you got to wait and be patient on God. And we're never told, I love they brought this out over the weekend. He talked about men fighting the first night, but the second night, this man, he starts talking about wrestling with God. I'd rather fight than wrestle. I'm not a wrestler. You ain't getting me in no spandex in Jesus' name, amen. So... But some of y'all might like wrestling. I don't know how many like wrestling. Amen. Yeah. I used to watch wrestling when it, you know, WWF, when it was real. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Macho Man. Oh, yeah, that was my dude. That was my dude. Randy. That was my dude. Amen. Wrestling's cool. But he talked about it. Don't get me going. Come on now. And he's beginning to talk about wrestling with God. Sometimes God is our father. I love this. And sometimes our father will move the furniture and call us out to the middle of the room because he wants to wrestle with us. And we begin to talk about that, us guys, on the way home, that when we go through times we don't understand, we need to have the courage to walk out on that floor and wrestle with God with the things we don't understand. Instead of sit there and put our fingers in our ear and go la 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 and suppress the feelings and call it steadfastness. But instead, go out there, take the courage and wrestle with God. And I was telling our guys, you can go ahead and do that. Wrestle with God with the hard questions. Why? Because you grow when you wrestle with your father. Because your father will show you some moves that you didn't know. Your father will never hurt you when he's wrestling with you. but he'll show you some things, and it's okay to wrestle with God. And I'm just here to tell you before we move on that if you're in a season of famine anywhere in your life, let me tell you something, don't walk away, but walk out into that front room and say, God, I don't understand what you're doing, but I'm going to be like Job, and I'm going to wait patiently until you just get me through this moment. I'm going to wrestle with you. I'm going to be like Jacob, who's going to get a hold of God and says, hey, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. I'm tired of being a deceiver. I'm tired of being known for being this type of person. I'm a trickster. I'm a manipulator. That's who I am. Jacob was. And he said, I'm going to wrestle with you, God, until you change me. Hallelujah, Jesus. That's how we got to get. No matter things, how bad they get, we must wrestle with the Lord and not move. But Elimelech went to Moab. But as I said, God is sovereign, and he can even bring something good out of our bad decisions because we get Ruth. But here's the thing. Elimelech had nothing to do with Ruth. It's Naomi. And the book is called Ruth, but let me tell you about Naomi, because if we didn't have no mother, we wouldn't have a Ruth. I know it's not Mother's Day, but let me tell you something. I think all of us can say if my mama wasn't here, I wouldn't be here. Physically, yes. But how many can say, yeah, also spiritually? If it wasn't a mother, I'm sure somebody helped you get to where you are today. One thing, when a guy was walking through the woods and he saw a turtle up on a fence post, and he told his friend, he said, there's two things I know what I'm looking at right now. And the guy said, what's that? He goes, one, it's a turtle on the fence post. And number two, it didn't get up there by itself. I thought that was hilarious. You didn't get where you are by yourself, and you're not going to get to where you're wanting to go by yourself. So now we get to Naomi. Before you get to Ruth, you got to see Naomi. And Naomi, her decision, by the way, it's 10 years that this mother experienced suffering. She lost her husband, and then she lost her two sons. There's no Jewish wedding, by the way. No father was present. There's no mention of a custom. Again, they're in a foreign land. I personally don't think Naomi wanted to be there in the first place. I don't think she had a word to say in it. Why? Because as soon as he dies, Naomi says, I'm going back home. But here's the thing. Naomi been through some things, and when we go through some things, it will move you if you make a decision to let it move you geographically, but you can also make a decision if it moves you internally. And for Naomi, it did. It changed her internally. For her name, actually, Naomi means pleasant, delightful. But she said, I don't want you to call me pleasant and delightful. I want you to call me Mara, which means bitterness. I want you to call me bitterness. Because the Lord has stretched out his hand against me. That's how she sees God. How many know rough times and famines and loss and sicknesses and death and tough times can change the way we even see God and can change the way we see ourselves? I love the Bible. We don't always get the answers to the why in the Bible, but what I love about the Bible is you're going to get the who and the what. You're going to find that there are other people in the Bible that's going through exactly what we're going through. And if everything was meant to be hunky-dory, everything was meant to be cherries, everything was meant to be beautiful, then the Bible would hide it and skip right over it. But the Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. The Bible says that it rains on the righteous and on the wicked. And the sun shines on the righteous and on the wicked. Here it is. Life is going to be tough whether you're with God or whether you're not with God. That's going to happen. This is a broken world. This is a broken world. You can go from a high, being in the presence of the Lord in one morning with 1,500 people, men, worshiping Jesus, and then a few hours later, we could be gathered around a bed to say goodbye to a sister who's been faithful to the Lord for over 40 years. In hours. Never know what a day may bring. It's crazy. But here's one thing that I do know. Here is the fact. Here is the main difference between those who decide, everybody say decide, those who decide to follow Jesus and those who decide to run to Moab. Here's the main difference. Your Bible says this, and you probably know it. If not, you need to memorize it. Romans 8:28 says this, for we know that all things work together for the good. But listen to the rest of the verse. For those who love God and are called according to his purpose. In other words, all things are not going to work out for the good for those that don't love God. But for those that make a decision to trust God anyway, He has a way to make all things fall together. Even if you're in a foreign land like Moab and you did not want to go there, but you're there. Maybe you made some decisions today and He got you in a place that you don't like and you're not there. I'm telling you, if you will still decide to bring your pain to God and not run from God, He will make sense of it somehow in your life. I promise you. Promise you. Elimelech decided to leave in his pain. But Naomi, listen, decided to go to God. Even though she was bitter, even though she was believing that God's hand was out against her, because it says when she heard God was there, giving out bread, she went back. Now listen, you don't go to a place if someone that you hate is there. Now, you may go to a place where someone that you're angry with is there. Like he was saying this over the weekend, we were talking about this. Like, guys, when you argue with your wives, and you're in an argument, and your wife's just mad at you, and you guys are going back and forth. Some of y'all had that this morning on the way to church. Hey, man, just look right this way. And there's tension in the house. I mean, the dog even leaves the room. And you're shouting, and you're trying to do the active listening and the assertiveness that Pastor Eddie and Melinda taught you. And you're trying to do that, and you're trying to be good. But there's so much tension in the room. And your wife comes in there, and she says, I'm going to get the children something to eat. Would you like anything? She's mad at you, but she's going to still ask you if you want some food. And you're like, yeah, whatever. Naomi is like, I'm going back to Bethlehem, but it's not to be with God. I heard He's just giving bread out to His people. God's answering some prayers, and I'm just going, maybe I'll get something, go back with my people at least. There's where she's at. She's angry at God because of what has happened. Amen. And there may be some people in this room listening to this message, watching this message later, wherever, where you're at a place where you've made a decision and it's happened maybe slowly. This took 10 years for her. I mean, she lost her husband. I know that was a big hit, but she's sitting there and she's got bitterness. What cures bitterness? I had you circle it in this chapter. Hope. Hope is the only thing that cures bitterness. That's why the Bible says hope deferred makes the soul sick. But when hope is accomplished, it's a tree of life. When hope is fulfilled, it's a tree of life. You ever hope for something and you went to go get it and it's like, oh man. Like, I remember we used to have BB gun fights growing up. I probably should not tell this story in the pulpit. I just realized. Psych, just kidding. I ordered this BB gun, I have to tell you now, out of the back of a catalog with my friend. And it was supposed to be a really sweet little BB gun. And it came in the mail, and it was in a big vanilla envelope. And I was like, well, that don't look right. I'm thinking the police are going to deliver it, right? Because it's like I'm 12. Mom, you didn't know this, but I used Jake's address to get it next door. And so he told me it came, and here it was. I opened it up. I got the little thing out, and it was like a little semi-automatic BB gun, but it was all plastic. And the bullets were just a long sleeve with just bullets on it. And I remember just you'd pop them off and put it in. I literally, on the back porch, shot it, and it fell apart. My life was over. God, have you ever suffered like that? And it's amazing how I've been planning on telling that, but as soon as you say disappointment, sometimes the craziest things will pop through your mind. And if you stop long enough and you listen to them, you'll go through every single one of them. But the funny thing is, I realized, is we have been conditioned to focus on the negative so much so that we couldn't stop and name 10 things that God just did for us this year. Because we live in a society that loves to point out what God didn't do rather than have the faith and courage to look forward to what God can still do. This is where we need the help of one another. This is why the Bible says in the New Testament, strengthen the hands and the knees that are feeble and lift up those hands that hang low. Encourage one another. Iron sharpens iron. And this is where Naomi is. And Naomi is needing hope. But she finds it in a place that was the most least likely place to find it. Her hope was coming through a young girl named Ruth, a Moabite, someone who's been ostracized from the presence of God. She's been brought up in worshiping Shamash. But yet they stand there and Ruth begins to make a decision. But I just want to tell you this. When Naomi made the decision to go back and go back to God, it forced everybody in her circle to also make a decision. When you make a decision to get serious about God, it will automatically force those in your circle to also make a decision. Starting with your spouse, starting with your family. Dad, you get saved, you're going to start making a decision coming to church. That's going to affect soccer. It's going to affect everything else in your life. Your one decision to follow. When you say yes to Jesus, you're also saying no to many other things. I don't hide anything. I'm telling you right now. But I will tell you this. If we will choose to follow Jesus, that he will make everything make sense out of it all. All things work together for the good. So Naomi makes a decision to go back. She still wants to go back, even though she believes it's God that has inflicted her. She still says, I want to go back. And so Orpah and Naomi come around her, and they gather, and they say, yeah, we're in it. We're going to go with you, Mom. We're going to go in. We're going to go with you, Mom. And she's like, no, don't go with me. And she begins to review the situation and break it down and said, I ain't going to have no baby tomorrow. You're going to be a single woman. You may not get your breakthrough that you're thinking about and that you're wanting. It may not, serving Jesus may not go all the way. He may move the furniture and call you out to the front room to wrestle with some things. And I'll tell you something, you wrestle with that, he's not going to hurt you, but you're going to get some rug burns. And serving Jesus, sometimes God's going to do something that's going to shake our faith sooner or later. Ask John the Baptist. Ask Gideon. Ask the 12 disciples, well, ask 11 of them, because one of them did what Orpah did. Because anyway, they came by and they gathered around Naomi, and Naomi began to break it down and said, this is how it's going to be if you serve Jesus. See, Jesus never prostituted heaven to follow him. We got to tell people about discipleship when we tell them about salvation and grace. If we don't, we're given an incomplete gospel. And then it forces us to make a decision. Somebody say decision time. Here we go. Put it on the screen. This is what happened. Verse 14. This is what I did not read to you. Then they all three lifted up their voices and they wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And Ruth said, or Naomi said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Let me just stop and ask you that are serving Jesus. Maybe you just gave your life to the Lord. Let me ask you, how long will your journey be? Look, Naomi has gone back, but Ruth said, urge me not to leave you or turn back from following you. And then she says one of the most famous poetic poetry ever. It's in weddings. I've used it in weddings. It's beautiful. You ready? Here it goes. She says, for wherever you go, I will go. For wherever you stay, I will stay. Watch this. Your people will be my people. Watch this. Your God will be my God. And I love this the most. And when you die, where you die, I'm gonna die. In other words, I'm your ride or die. I'm not in it for a week. I'm not in it for a month. I'm not in it for a year. I'm gonna follow you to your grave, and I'm going to stand next to you till you die. That is the hope that Naomi needed. And the Lord do so to me, and more so if anything but death parts us. And here's the part I want to close with you today. You have, the Bible says that Orpah kissed her, but Ruth clung to her. Let me tell you something, Christians. There are kissers and there are clingers. There are people that are going to follow you and going to start making those steps and say, I'm going to follow you, Jesus, and I'm going to be with you, brother, I'm going to be with you, sister. But when the times get tough, they're going to look at you right in the eye and give you a kiss and walk away. This was Judas. Judas was a kisser. Because he didn't get out in the middle of the hallway. He didn't wrestle with his father. He just said, I didn't like just Jesus. Jesus came, he healed the sick, but he wouldn't relieve his own people from oppression. I don't like this Jesus. And so what did he do? In the darkest hour of our Lord's life, he leads a troop of soldiers into his intimate place of prayer and gives them a kiss. Look at him dead in the face, kisses him in the eye. And Jesus even says, are you going to betray the Son of Man with a kiss, Orpah? And he looks at him and gives him a kiss and is out. But the Bible says, but Ruth clung to her. It must have been, look at Ruth, to marry a man who's already been sick. My wife brought that out. That was hers. Amen, babe. We preached each other all week. She said, let me tell you something about Ruth. She said, to say I do, even when a man is struggling and he's not physically able to do all these things. And just think about Ruth. That's what kind of woman Ruth is. Orpah was like, man, it's too tough. I'm out. But Ruth was a clinger. She decided to hang on and say, wherever you go, I'm going to go. Wherever you stay, I'm going to stay. I wonder if there's some clingers in here today. I'm telling you, are there some clingers in here today? Are there some, that man that at the men's conference talked about raising two children with autism. He talked about how he prayed to God and said, God, I need you. And he prayed everything, but the Lord brought him out into that living room and he wrestled with the why. And he said, God spoke to him and said, listen, you've been praying for me to make your kids more like you, but I want you to be more like them. The fact that these kids of his, even though they got autism, he began to talk about how they just love to go for a ride in the van. They don't even care where they're going. They just trust daddy. Every time daddy says, get in the bus, because they call it a bus, the kids jump up in the bus and they go for a ride. And he says, I was the teenager that stopped and would question dad 30 minutes. Where are we going? How long are we going to be there? What are we going to eat? I mean, he's got teenagers like that. Amen. But he says, I tell the boys, get in the van. They get in the van and go. And God says, he looks at us. This man preached my sermon. I'm telling you guys, I'm sitting there. And a clinger is somebody that just has the faith that says, no matter what's going to happen, I'm going to go. And Ruth hung on to Naomi. In the Bible, this first chapter ends with them saying, they happened to arrive right at harvest time. Okay, I got to end right there. And there's a man named Boaz that's been on the other side of this story. Has no idea what's been going through, what God was doing. He's probably praying, Lord, when are you going to send me a woman? When are you going to send me a woman who has the right spirit? And he's looking and he's praying and he's wondering, when are you going to send me a woman that loves you, God, and is loyal and faithful and pretty? Ain't nothing wrong praying that. And lo and behold, he answers his prayer through a Moabite woman. You're going to love that next week. Ruth had no idea, listen, that one decision changed the trajectory of her entire future and her children and her grandchildren because she made one decision to be a clinger and not a kisser. Church, what decision are we going to make when times get hard? That's the message of Ruth chapter 1. What decisions are we going to make? Because they're going to come. Are we going to say, I'm like Orpah? Give you a kiss. It's been nice. Love the new songs. I love the church building, what God's doing. I got some goosebumps. He even answered a couple prayer. I ain't going far. I'm just going to serve God my own way. I'm just going to kind of, and they end up fading out. Or are we going to be like Ruth and say, listen, I haven't got all my prayers answered. I lost my husband. I don't even understand what this God is. But if you're willing to still trust this God, it's got to be better than the God I've had. Because without Jesus, this is the best it's going to get for some. But for those that love Jesus, this is the worst it's going to get. Yeah. Did you hear me? Let's all stand to our feet. I have decided to follow Jesus. The song says, no turning back, no turning back. With the cross in front of me and those behind me, no turning back. That beautiful song goes. When it moves from a song to a decision from the heart is when you and I begin to see the blessing in the hand of God, begin to make sense from these things. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you for this time of worship. It's been such a special service today in your gathering. You've just had your hand on this entire service today. Father, there's people in this room watching this message that's in so many different stories. Some are like Naomi. Some are like Elimelech. They've made some bad choices. And it did impact their family. I mean, their decision caused them to have to bury both their kids in a foreign land. It's tough. If we're honest, everybody here would probably say, I've made some bad decisions. I know both my hands go up. I've made some bad decisions. But it begins with that one decision to follow Jesus no matter what. And I'm going to just give this first invitation. If you're here today watching or online, or you're here in the building and you haven't really made that decision to follow Jesus, I never want to pass this opportunity up and assume everybody here are followers of Christ and have said yes to Jesus. A couple of weeks ago, we saw 12 people give their life to the Lord. We saw one a couple of months ago and then get baptized. I mean, so I don't know where everybody is right now spiritually. But if you're in this place, first altar call I'm going to give you, if you're in this place, and you need to make that decision to follow Jesus. It's a decision to respond to his goodness. If you're here and you say, you know what, I'm going to respond to Jesus today as my Lord and Savior, and you haven't done that yet, or you did it a long time ago, but you drifted away, now it's time to come to the Lord. Before I move on, I want to give you an opportunity. So if you're here, raise that hand up high. I'm just going to call you out and say, pray for me today. I want to accept Christ today. I decide to follow Jesus. If you haven't done, do we have one in this building today? I don't care where you are. One, if there's one that says, yes, I want to follow Jesus today. Anybody have that courage to say that? Pray for me. Pray for me today. Is there one today? I don't know. Amen. Amen. Okay. Amen. We've all decided. How many of us here would say, I need some prayer today because I'm making a decision. I need to make the right decision in this time of famine. I'm going through a famine. I'm going through a loss. It's hard to trust God. I don't understand some things, but you know, hearing this message and God speaking to my heart, he's with me through the prophetic word. I mean, it all lined up. I make a decision to follow Jesus no matter what. How many say that's me? I'm gonna follow Jesus no matter what today. Amen. How many would say this word specifically spoke to me at right now at this time? I want you to lift that other hand up right now. Right in your seat. I'm not gonna bring you up. You're right in your seat. Amen. I want you to just close your eyes with hands lifted up everywhere. You know, I always tell you this is a gesture of surrender, and it is. But you know what this also is? Pastor Steve always said this. This is like when you come to your dad and you're a little child. My grandkids do. My granddaughter, she's already Poppy's girl. I'm telling you. Elias James, I love my grandson. He's at that age where he runs from me. I got to chase him down. But Carolina Grace, if she walks in the house, I say, hey, sissy. She comes walking right over. And she gets in my face and she goes, she thinks that's funny. I got to quit laughing at it because it encourages her. Come on, put it back up. This is what this means. Abba, Father, Daddy, pick me up. I'm in a famine. Oh, I'm in a famine right now. I've lost some things. Lift me up. Just pick me up out of this. I'm coming back to the house of bread. Coming back to praise. Father, with uplifted hands today, you saved this story. This is only one specific story that has its own book in your Holy Bible from a period that was the darkest of Israel's history. And you chose to save us out of all the stories. You gave us Ruth and Naomi for 2025 for us men and women to see ourselves in and see that you're a God that can make sense when there is no sense for us. So we come out to the living room today and we're gonna wrestle with you, Father. We're gonna wrestle all the way through our questions. We're gonna wrestle all the way through our pain. We're gonna wrestle all the way through. If we get rug burns or not, we're not gonna quit. We're gonna cling to you, Father, because you're a good, good Father. And we declare it today on May 4th. You are with us. And we're going to stay with you today in the name of Jesus. I pray that over every uplifted hand today in the name of Jesus. We're going to sing one more song. Altar team, will you come? And if you want to get prayer, you can get prayer. If you need to get extra prayer, you got something going on in your life or whatever, why don't you come forward and get some prayer today? But we're going to sing one verse and then I'm going to dismiss you formally in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we just seal? I'd like to seal this word up with prayer and worship. If you need prayer, come get it. If not, if you've got it right there, fine, let's worship. Come on. Desire, Jesus. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. We got more altar workers if you need prayer. They're here. They're ready for you. Amen. Just worship them. That's fine. Give it to you, Lord. Jesus. All I have, yes. Within me, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Jesus. Give you. Come on. Come on, sing that. Oh, I'm gonna give you praise, Jesus.
You would help us to respond to that charge every day this week, Lord, in every situation. Yes, Lord, we will come and we will serve you and follow you with all of our hearts, Lord. Even in the times when we don't understand and have it all figured out, give us the strength and the faith to endure when we walk through those valleys. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Well, amen and amen. I pray that message was a blessing to you, that you received some sort of encouragement or word of instruction from the Lord. That's our prayer at River of Life, that every time you tune in, that God speaks directly to your heart. Well, this is Pastor Eddie again. Just want to say thank you for listening to our podcast and remind you that every Tuesday, a new message is uploaded. Also, if you want to watch one of our services, head over to our YouTube channel. It's River of Life Church, a church of His presence, His promises, and all people, and you can watch one of our services that way as well. So God bless you. I pray God's presence be with you for the rest of the week. Amen.